All right, great. Wonderful to be back. Thanks for coming. To everybody, thank you so much for being here. We're jumping back into Ana B'Koyach. We've been learning the last stanza of this incredible tefillah. And we spent a lot of time in the first shiur talking about Shava, the special kind of prayer, Shava. Thanks for coming. Shava, deep, deep, deep sense of yearning, longing, essential spark of the Jew. That no matter what's going on in a person's life, we have that. And there's a sense of yearning. Thanks for coming. And then last week we spoke about Sa'aka. About Sa'aka being a tefillah that's even beyond words, beyond words. We spoke about tefillah, what tefillah really is supposed to be, in order to understand why Sa'aka is the highest form of tefillah. You have to understand what tefillah is, right? Tefillah has nothing to do with letters and words, and we learned that, and we're going to learn a little bit more about that tonight. In the context of the final two words in the stanza, or the final four words, Ushma or Ushma Tagasenu, Yodea Ta'alumais. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who know Ta'alumais, the hidden secrets. So now we're going to delve into this, but Ezra Hashem will have tonight and the next week, and then next week will be the last shir in Ana B'Koyach, and we'll move into L'Chadoidi, Ezra Hashem from Rav Kluger and others. Okay, so let's jump inside. Yodea Ta'alumais Shel Tzaakas Halev. What's the depth of ending this stanza that is the culmination of the whole Ana B'Koyach with these words, Yadea Talumais, you Ribbono Shel Olam, who know the hidden matters. La'ar Divrei Hazayir HaKadosh. So again, we don't bring everything in the Sefer, so I skipped a little bit. But in light of the Zohar that he had quoted, which we didn't learn together, but not important for our purposes right now, Nuchala Havanehetev as Hemshech HaTfilah Shel Shavaseinu. We could understand the conclusion of this tefillah that begins with Shavaseinu Kabel, receive our Shava, Ushmatza Kasenu, hear our cry. Sha'anu Ya'imrim Shavasenu Kabal Ushmatza Kasenu, we ended Yodea Talumas, you who know the hidden matters. So again, this is how we close the whole tefillah essentially. That's followed by Baruch Shem, but we close the tefillah with these two words, Master of Heaven and Earth, you are the one who is Yodea Talumas. We have to understand why is it now that we're referring to Hashem in this way. Ma kesha bin kinuzeo bin abakasha, sha Hashem yikabala shavaseinu v'yishmas tzakaseinu. Obviously, it's not for nothing that we're choosing these two words, yadea talumais, to refer to Hashem in the context of, you know, shavaseinu kabel v'shma tzakaseinu, right? We could say, shavaseinu kabel v'shma tzakaseinu ribboina shaloylam. Or, you know, Racham Chanan, you know, this week's parasha. Anything that we want, we can refer to Hashem. Why dafka here do we use this terminology and refer to Hashem as the one that knows the hidden matters? Ella, Sha'af Shalaymar, so he says it's possible to suggest the following. Shehihi Hashlamas Tvilazu, this is the final completion of the whole prayer. V'hu mechavenes b'yichud el hamilim, but it's primarily focusing on these two words that we learned about last week, and hear our tsa'aka. Vahainu, what does this mean? She'inu re'inu, we saw at length, and we really delved deeply into this last time. Sha'at tsa'aka inena ba'ab imilim ediburim. Tsa'aka is a kind of prayer that's beyond words, which really all of tefillah is beyond words, regardless of which words we use to express it. Because like we learned last week, and this is the way we presented it, Hashem doesn't hear your prayer, Hashem hears your heart. Right, and that was the main thing. How do we express different feelings, yearnings, longings, desires, and so on in words? But that's not the main thing. We're going to learn that even more deeply this time. Ela tsa'akas halev bilvad. Tsa'aka just means that a person calls out. It's call, like the shofar, like we learned. It's call, it's the voice, without any dibur. Just the essence of the heart calling out. It would appear that sa'aka, of all the different kinds of tefillah, is the least clear. It's the most vague. The person's not telling Hashem what he actually needs. He's just calling out, crying out. But, so what are you saying, right? Meaning, what are you davening for? If you have two people who get together, as I had sa'aka amnam tucha lahavi, Es hakeev shalalev. Sometimes you hear chas v'shalom, a person groaning, moaning, you know, crying out. A person's sick. A person's ill. A person's chas v'shalom in the hospital. A person's in pain. So they're crying out in the way of tzaaka. Lets the other person know, okay, something's wrong. Right, the person's clearly feeling and expressing something, But just from a person kvetching and, you know, like moaning, groaning, a person can't necessarily help the other person. Right? To understand, great to see you. To understand, what does the person want? He didn't say what he needs. He didn't say what he's feeling. So, you know, a person could be complaining about any number of things or referring to any number of things that he needs help with. But a tzaaka is not clear. Rakim Yifarish, as Dvar Vurtsai Naisav, he says, he explains what's bothering him, what's hurting him, what he's lacking. So Yuchal Chaver Lahavina, if you use words, another person could understand them. Nimsa Shalitzarav Tikshorat Bein Bnei Adam, in order for human communication, Ha'emsai Hanoach Bioter, Hu Adibor Habarav Harad, in order to communicate the clearest ways to find words, to use language. I heard somewhere, I can't remember exactly where, I heard some therapist that works in Hasidish circles, it's a very painful thing, but a very real thing. He said that Hasidim have a very difficult time in therapy because this person is an English speaker and he doesn't, you know, he needs to communicate with Hasidim who they could, you know, they speak English, but because it's not their first language, they have a very difficult time coming up with words to express their feelings. And sometimes, even in the Yiddish, if they haven't been taught the language of feelings, if you don't have the language, so then in a certain way, it's ki'ilu, it's for sure impossible to communicate to others, but maybe even in and of your own self, you don't really have clarity. Like, what is it? What am I feeling? If there's not clarity and a nuanced sense of language, right? And so, between people coming up with words, and using words to explain to someone else what you're feeling, I mean, that's the easiest, like, most direct way. The easiest way, right, is clear words. Right, to really clarify to another person what it is that we're lacking, what it is that's hurting us. And this is true for people. But loy kein eitzel avinu sheba shemayim. We have to understand Hashem operates in a completely different way. Not in this way where, again, it goes to what we said last week. He doesn't need our words. Hayodea ta'alumais. In the aspect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows all the hidden things. So he's hayodea ta'alumais libenu. He understands the hidden secrets of our heart. U'makshu u'mazin osfas oimek. Hashem hears the language of our feelings. Hashem hears the language of our heart, irrespective of whether we can put words to it. On the contrary, we're feeling so strongly, and that's why we said tzaaka is the highest kind of tefillah, because in as much as tefillah is avodah shebalev, and it's talui on a real, authentic expression of self, so then tzaaka, which is beyond words, because it's so acute, and it's so intense, and it's just a rush of feeling that's even beyond what the person, as we're going to learn in a few minutes, beyond what the person's able to be mukbal, to put into a limit, or a container. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reads that. Hu yizbarach mevin heitev tzaakas halev. Hashem understands. Hashem understands the tzaaka of the heart, the idea bidiyuk, and he understands precisely, as oimek imke hamachov ve'es habakashos veritzonos, the deepest depth of our pain and what it is that we're calling out for, what it is that we deeply want, sometimes maybe even when we don't know what it is that we want, but we just feel generally something's out of place, I don't know what it is, and I'm working to get it and to understand it, but the one thing I know, even if I don't know the nature of what it is that I'm feeling, I know that I just don't feel good. I don't feel good. I don't feel right. And I don't know how to put things right all the time. And sometimes I can't come up with all the words that I need in order to express to Hashem. Either I can't come up with the words or I don't even know what it is. We have to understand calling out to Hashem just in a tzaaka. It could be a quiet tzaaka. It could be a very loud tzaaka if you happen to be alone in nature. Not advisable to do like on Brent Street or anything. Not yet. There will come a day. But but you find yourself in a forest somewhere, in a field, in the middle of nature, like the Breslovers, you know. You just scream, you call out. Rabbi Nachman was mechadesh, that you can do that in your head, in your brain. It's called the silent scream. Sicha, hey, if I'm not mistaken, of Sicha Saran, either Sicha Hey or Sicha Ches, right in the beginning, Rabbi Nachman expresses how a person is able to just close their eyes, and you can do this among other people, you could do it anywhere you need to. And you feel that you need to just have a release, like you feel sometimes the human being, especially people like us who are spiritual seekers, whose neshamas are seeking the merchav, the expanse, and that's why all of you are in this room. There are plenty of other shirim to be at. But it means we're seeking something. So it can feel very claustrophobic for a big soul to be trapped in the stuckness of Olam Hazeh. And sometimes you need to release, you need to express. Says the Rebbe, you can't always run to a field or a forest somewhere. Stay where you are. You can close your eyes. And in your brain, it's a type of meditation in a sense, a very easy one. In your brain, imagine the sound of you screaming. And let that fill your consciousness, get louder and louder and louder and louder. And the Rebbe says, this is a good Eitzah. You can call out to Hashem from the deepest depth of your heart. You could be in the bank. You could be in the post office. You could be, you know, wherever you are in life. You could be in school. You could be in yeshiva. You could be wherever it is. Stop and remember, your connection to Hashem is a personal journey. It's nothing to do with your surroundings. It has nothing to do with anything else. It's inside. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. He understands again, b'diyuk es omek imke amachoves abakashos v'ritzonos. Hashem understands the deepest depth of every aspect of it. V'adarabba, and on the contrary, it's so deep. Etzli is baruch ha-hepechu anachon. By Hashem, it works exactly the opposite than the way that it works with other people. Ki davka tzakas ha-lev choshefet. It is specifically the tsa'aka of the heart that most deeply encapsulates and expresses the bond that we have between us and Hashem. Because Hashem understands us so deeply that He doesn't need words. He doesn't need words. Anything that you ever experienced in your life, even before you were conscious of Hashem or on whatever serious level, people go through things as children. And it's a big moment of awakening where you realize, no matter what it is that you went through, and every person has a turbulent journey, there are moments when you feel alone, there are moments when you feel hurt, there are moments when you feel neglected, there are moments in everybody's life, you know, as a child growing up, and chas v'shalom, to different degrees. However alone you think you were then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with you in that moment. As crazy as it seems, meaning the moments that we think Hashem is with us the least, it turns out, and as much as we're able later on to understand that there's nothing out of place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu firt the welt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. We believe kol mada avid rachmana letav avid, whatever it is that's happening is an unfolding story that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the great storyteller. So according to the Baal Tanya, it's precisely those moments that we think Hashem is with us the least, because it's so bad and it's so overwhelming and it's so cruel, that if we fit this back into the system of Emunah, to really believe that everything that happens is for the best, so then paradoxically it turns out that those experiences are even better than the experiences that we can understand as being good. Why? Because if it's an experience that I can understand as being good, so then how good could it be? You know, if my human brain can grasp that this thing is good, so then it's good. But it's only good in a limited way. But if something good is happening to me that's beyond my ability to even grasp it, gewalt, how good is it? It must be so good that it's beyond me. Hashem is telling such a joke, so to speak, such a deep joke that we're not going to get the punchline until, you know, all the masks are stripped away, and then we'll do nothing else but laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. Oz yimali schaik pinu, that's what it means. Then our mouths will fill with laughter. Batischak liyoyim acharin. There's going to be just endless laughter when we get the joke, and we get it, and it is a joke. When you're in it, very, very difficult. But we can train our brain to already begin to ease into things with emunah, and attaka changes the way that we experience things. Gives us Yishav Hadas. So forget about it being true. It's also beautiful. It's nice when things are true. And forget about it getting you Olam Haba in the next world. That's also beautiful. it'll change your this worldly experience. It fundamentally changes your life. It fundamentally, it's like what the Baal Tanya in that very parak speaks about, trach good and sein good, right? Which is a famous Yiddish expression, comes from Chabad, which means think good and it will be good. So on the one hand, it's a metaphysical truth, right? Our thoughts have you know, energetic impact on reality. And there are many different ways of understanding that, but that's certainly true. And the Zohar Kodesh speaks about it, all the tzaddikim speak about. Good thoughts have a spiritual impact on the metzias. But for the less spiritually inclined, it's a very pragmatic thing. It's not just a spiritual truth. It's a practical truth. Think positive, you'll see how your life how the quality of your life changes. Again, not because on some spiritual level your good thinking impacted things on a spiritual level. Maybe that's also true. But just on a very, very basic level. If a person is able to go with Yishav Hadas that's emuna oriented, trust me, on a very basic level, your life will be better. Your life will be calmer. You'll have more joy, Mimela, because there's so few reasons to get so agitated because it's all a little bit of a show. It's a story. It's a story. Hashem is telling the story, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a good storyteller. Not just meaning the story is like he tells the story well. He only tells good stories. He only tells stories that end with Vatischak Liyom Acharon, that when you get to the final day, you're going to be laughing one way or another. So you may as well start to laugh already now. To borrow a little bit of the laughter. Even though we don't get the joke yet. But what we can get, and this is called emuna, is that there is a joke. There is a joke. And the darker things get, Hashem has a little bit dark humor, you know, but not in that way. You know, and a beautiful, the darker things are, and the more difficult and the more painful, so we can rest assured that something so good is happening that it's beyond our brain, our brain's capacity to be able to grasp it. So it's the same thing over here. Imay anoichi b'tzara is that in those moments when you felt mamish alone, there is no such thing. Because if you experienced it, and this is very deep, then Hashem experienced it. If you experienced it, then as a chelik alakam imal, if the only way that you're alive in this realm, if the only way that you're functioning, you're not plugged into an outlet, it's not like electricity, that there's spiritual energy in you. That's how you're conscious. That's how you're perceptible. You're a revelation of the divine, both on the level of neshama, and I was zochet to speak to a bunch of Hasmo kids today, year 10, and on the level of the guf. You know, kids today are so deep, it's unbelievable. When you speak to them in the right way, they are, I'm telling you, some people, they need to tell stories and jokes, and they hardly say anything, but they said like four stories, and because, you know, maybe they kept them engaged. Kids, they're so ready for the deepest depths that it's absolutely wild. It was a chaval, I had 45 minutes. We could have sat there for 5 hours easily without stopping, and nobody ever would have looked at the clock. Because when we speak about things that are relevant, you know, things that they care about, that they want to hear about, what does it mean to be a neshama? That's why I went through with them. Where is the neshama in the body? So this one said the heart, this one said the mind. Just building a concept of like, what am I? It's like the most fundamental thing. How could you think about anything else? You're opening Baba Metzia already to learn, you know, DNA, whatever. It's like, wait a second, who are you? What am I? Right? There's a story, one of the great Hasidic masters, the great tzaddikim, and the Masnagdim anyway were pretty angry with him for a number of reasons, and his Mahalach and Avodas Hashem, but one of the things is he always came like incredibly late to davening, so much so that they had to make a minyan for him at like 11 o'clock every morning, or whatever it was, at 11:30, just this man. And it was unfathomable to people, like, you're big tzaddik, you know, and we believe that the person is a big Avod Hashem, Talmud Chacham, and like, it's what's going on. You're hanging out of bed until 11 o'clock in the morning. So this person watched this from afar. And finally, at some point, he summoned up the courage to confront the rabbi, you know, and with as much respect as he could. He said to you know, Rabbi, do you really think it's befitting for a person to laze around, you know, when he's a leader of a congregation, and he's a tzaddik, and people look up to him as an example, and you know, you're taking it so easy, ad kadei kach, that you come to shul at 11, like, what's going on? I was like, confronted him. So the rabbi smiled, and he looked at him, he says, let me explain. He says, you obviously think that I just love sleep so much, you know, that I just keep on hitting whatever, you know, proverbial snooze button again and again and again. I'm tossing and turning. And then finally, I managed to schlep myself out of bed. He says, let me tell you what happens with me every morning, okay? He said, I wake up every morning at 4:30 a.m. And like a good Jew, I open my eyes. The first thing I say is, Moide ani lefanecha. And as I say those words, Moide ani lefanecha, I am grateful to you. I'm saying these words, and I start to think to myself, Mi ani? What is the ani? Who am I? Lefanecha, before you. And I Pasha can't move until I get a further level of understanding into this, into what's I and who are you. And it takes me a few hours just like get my head a little bit around these concepts enough that I can get out of bed and function as a person. Because if we don't have self-awareness and self-understanding, so then how could anything else flow? I'm missing fundamental pieces of information about ani, moed ani lefanecha. So how do we get into this? Because imay anoichi b'tzara again means that in as much as we're an neshama, so if we experience, Hashem is experiencing. Imay anoichi b'tzara. Kach she'ein soirich b'sfastik shorit chitzonit be'emsos ha'peh v'hadibor. Hashem doesn't need words, you know, expressions, explanations. Be'emsos ha'dibor. Ela etzem alev. So what is it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs just the heart. He reads the heart because he's there, he's in, he's with us. But oimek nekudasai, in the essence of the nekuda of the lev, hu hu hamurgish la'ela, that's what is understood above. Hashem doesn't need to understand English, that's how we said it last week. Or Hebrew, or Yiddish, or Japanese, or anything else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, he's reading the feelings. He's in the lave. Eitzel Hashem Yisbarach, she'yodeyas levaveinu v'chashu, margish es machoiv einu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels our pain, ba'ifana amuk b'yaser, in the most accurate way. However much you're able to express what you're feeling, even to a really sensitive, perceptible person, even still, there's something lacking. There's going to be something lacking. Blitzarich b'shem bitui chitzayni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. He understands it. He doesn't need anything else. Ke'em hamavina heitev es bechi tinok. Just like a mother understands what her infant needs when he's crying, even though he's not clearly expressing in words exactly what he needs. Is he tired? You know, he needs a nappy change, he needs a feed. But the mother understands. Davar ze atzmi meir al oimek hakesher b'neinu b'nei Hashem Yisbarach. So this expresses the deep bond that we have between us and Hashem. She'ein b'neinu shum zaros. There is no strangeness. There is no separation. We don't need to come on to what human beings need in order to communicate. Thinking things through and then choosing words carefully and then trying to accurately represent what we're feeling inside. He gets it, he's there, he's with it. So you give a tza'aka and he already knows everything. Imamish already knows everything. And I'm just thinking of a very deep expression of the Tanya also. I believe it's in Shari Yichud Emunah. But the Baal Tanya says that that according to the Gemara in Brachas, that compares Hashem to the Neshama, right? It says that David HaMelech said five Barchi Nafshis and Keneged Mi. Why did David HaMelech say Barchi Nafshi? He referred to the Nefesh five times. And the Gemara says there are five ways that the Neshama is exactly like Hashem. Right? There's a comparison even in the Gemara. Hashem is to the world what the neshama is to the body. And for example, maha neshama, the neshama sees but isn't seen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees but isn't seen. And the Gemara goes through four other comparisons between the neshama and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, says the Baal Tanya, if we follow through with that comparison, and we think about a person who stubs his toe, was there any communication between the toe and the brain? Or is there any delay in terms of a person intellectualizing that his toe is hurting? That like his brain comprehends the situation and figures out, okay, here was a table, and the table, hard, toe, soft, you know, and like figured out this concept, and then was like, oh, okay, my toe's hurting. Of course not, it happens instantly. Instantly. You know it from the inside because it's a part of you. Says the Baal Tanya, in the same way, it's an incredible thing. When we say Hashem knows everything that's happening in the world, says the Baal Tanya, Hashem doesn't know it because Hashem is up there watching it. Hashem knows every single tiny, teeny detail of every single thing that's unfolding at the same moment all throughout the world, on every strata of existence, from the little bugs that are burrowing down under the ground, maybe even right here, you know, under the building, you know, and all what's happening with every single bird that's flying anywhere in the heavens, including all the clouds and all the trees and all the animals and all the human beings, with every single dynamic, personally and collectively and nationally and internationally, and so every single tiny prat of a prat of a prat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows it, not with a knowledge that's separate from him, but he knows it because he is it. He knows it from the inside, instantly. It's an incredible thing. It's a different way of thinking about it. Hashem knows it intimately, immediately, fundamentally, essentially. And it's not like he's in everything. He is everything. And in that sense, it's even deeper than like the neshama and the guf, because already neshama and the guf is like two separate things. But by Hashem, it's mamash not that way. Every particle of existence, the capacity for there to be three-dimensional space, like the fact that I can take this hand and move it to there, that's a gilui elokus. That's a revelation. Why is there space? Why are there three dimensions? Why is there air that we're breathing? Anything that there is, this is all taking place within Elokus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything, everything there is. So Memela, his understanding is fundamentally essential, certainly when it comes to what the human soul experiences with it, which is a much higher gilui of Elokus than just everything else. Much higher. Maybe even in a certain sense, not infinitely, but, you know, fantastically higher. So when Hashem knows what's going on, Hashem understands us in the deepest, deepest, deepest way from the inside. He is in our hearts. Beyond that, who libenu? He is our heart. Ka'amrei, like we say in Tehillim, Tzur Levavi. We refer to Hashem as the Tzur Levavi, the rock of my heart. The Chelki Elikim La'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my portion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my heart forever. V'darsha chachamim, and chazal darshan on the pasuk, ani yishein of libi er, I am asleep, but my heart is awake. Ani yishein of min ha-geula. I gave up. I was sleeping. I despaired, chas v'shalom, from ever being redeemed. But you know what v'libi er is? So it's an incredible thing. The pasuk, the Jew refers to his own lave, say chazal, Libo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu er l'ga'aleni. Hashem's heart, which is libi, is my heart. Liboy, libi, it's the same thing. Er l'ga'aleni, Hashem is awake and Hashem is working wonders for me. Amreb Chia bar Abba, Heicha Metzanu, Shenikra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Libo shel Yisrael. Where do we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the heart of the Jew, and the heart of the Jewish nation? It's written in this pasuk, Tzur Levavi v'chelki elikim la'olam. Hashem is called the Lev. Al kein oimer ha'kasav, and now he says the deepest thing. You remember the pasuk that we began this whole stanza and learning about Shava and learning about Sa'aka. They were rooted in the very first prayer of the Jewish nation collectively that got us out of Mitzrayim. You remember the psukim? V'tal Shava simel elikim, Shava, v'yizak, and they cried out, v'yizaku, and they cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the pasuk ends vayeda elikim. Now, how do you understand that ordinarily? On a simple level, the yeda elikim is they davened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard their tefillah, and now he knows. Now he knows that they're in pain, which is an incredible thing. Because all the mefarshim ask, like, only now he knew? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't know before they called out to him? Because on a simple reading of the pasuk, it doesn't seem to fit. They called out, and Hashem was like, oh, Taka, it's a terrible situation. Like, where have you been? You're God. You're omnipotent. Like, you're omniscient. You're everywhere and at all times. So only Nava Yedalikim, according to what we're learning, it's the deepest depth. It's a completely different way of reading this pasuk. The words Vayeda Elikim come to Bavarn. So we say, come to... What's Bavarn? Not really. They come to address. Or preempt. Preemptively address. Bavarn. They come to preemptively address the following kasha. The following question. Am Yisrael never expressed what it was that they were going through. So, in as much as we can understand that people daven and Hashem listens, which is itself a theological conundrum, it's a problem because God doesn't need tefillah because Hashem already knows. But fine. In as much as we can understand that in some way, in some hanhaga, the Jew davens and Hashem responds to the tefillah, so there's a problem with this kind of prayer that they're davening. Because they didn't say what was going wrong. They didn't say, Ribbono Shel Olam, we are in exile. We are in pain. You know, here's why. These Egyptians, and they're driving us crazy, and they're killing our kids, and they're et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. None of that. Shava and Sa'aka. So the question is, so what did Hashem respond to? There was no content of their communication. Shava, Sa'aka, like we're learning. There were no words. There was no content. Nothing was expressed. So the pasuk answers, because Vayeda Elikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to their prayer wasn't the knowledge of what they were going through, but rather, let's go back inside, Hu Yodea, the pasuk tells us he knows, Kasav Mahu Yodea. The pasuk doesn't tell us what he knew, it just says, Vayeda Elikim, and God knew. So umahu yadeya, what is it that he knows? Not what we say. Oy sonu hu yadeya. He knows us. Es chayenu, he knows our lives. Es levavenu, he knows our hearts. Es mahuseinu b'chol oinka. So the pasuk is explaining, why does tzaaka work? Why does shava work? Because v'yeda elikim. Because Hashem doesn't need words. Because Hashem knows you. He knew you from the beginning. He knows you until the end. He knows every single detail of every tiny little feeling that you feel that maybe even you aren't able to put your finger on what it is that you're feeling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Vayeda Elikim. So Memela, again, it's not in response to their Tza'aka and Shava. It's like you got to read the pasuk from the back to the beginning. Because Vayeda Elikim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows what you're going through. So the Memela, that's the premise for Shava, Tza'aka, how this stuff works. It's without words because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need words. Because Hashem reads the heart. Hashem is the heart. Whatever you experience, He feels with you. Zois yedias hamahus b'shleimus. B'shleimusa. This is what we mean. Hashem knows the essence. For like pratis, unikudas, pratim unikudas. Hashem doesn't need you to tell Him this detail, that detail, this part of your life. Like halakim ubchinas, you know, to really go through it. I'm dealing with this and this. Elas hakol mamish. On this level of tza'aka, Hashem, it's the totality. Es atzmenu. Hashem knows not what we're going through, but He knows us, we. As levavenu, our hearts, as oimik tohoimus nafshenu, the deepest, darkest depth of our being. And he says, pa'am kashar adam nigash l'rav, a person comes to a rav, a rebbe, ala demos ha'gedoyle mimenu, to somebody who's greater than him, a person comes to unburden himself. U'menasa l'sapa l'tza'arasa, and he wants to tell the person what he's struggling with. Wants to tell the person how much pain he's in, you know, the binds, the frustration, the constriction, whatever it is that the person's going through, the challenge. And a lot of times, hu chash, you could feel shalai hitzliach levate es koivet hamishkol sha'alibai. He feels that like he didn't really accurately express just what it is that he's going through. That's oymek machoiva v'yigoynoisav, and the depth of his pain and his angst. V'hadavar garem le'achsav avetzar, and he feels disappointed afterwards. He feels pained. Like he walks out of the meeting and he's like, I
frustrated.
Frustrated. There's another aspect that even before the person begins to speak, he already starts to think, "Shu'ula lo yatzliach lavateis ke'evo." It's like, how could I ever express to another person? It's like, "Upa'amim ha'ke'ev atzar gedolim kol kach." And sometimes, taka, the pain that a person feels is so deep. The person in and of himself can't even imagine being able to express to someone else, because the someone else is not in their situation. So however much you can think a person is empathetic, a person cares, but sacha kol, they're not you, you know. They're not the one that's dealing with whatever it is, the stuckness, let's say. Tenudas halev gedolich kol kach, and the complex feelings of the heart are so strong. Atcha'im be'efsharis klal lehevi levateis keivav. He says, like, I just can't put it into words. Vatzar al akoishi bebitoi, and then the pain that's added on because of the impossibility or the difficulty of expressing, al abedidos, the loneliness, betchushas hamachov, and feeling like there's no one who can understand me. There's no one who gets the precise nature of the difficulty of whatever kind it is that a person is feeling, that loneliness. That there's no one to understand him, who gadol ma'ayid. It like adds to the pain. So it's not just enough that a person theoretically is suffering, but then there's the added suffering of the loneliness. And the inability, even if a person's blessed with a really good friend or a loving spouse or loving family members, whatever it is, it's still not enough. Like, the person's just alone, mamash alone, and that feeling of loneliness, that feeling that there's no one else who would really get it. So that's maybe even more painful than what it is that he's feeling, right?
No one that might get it, and no one that might get him.
Right, so the same nekuda. That's exactly where we're going with this. No one will understand his situation. No one will understand how he's gotten into this situation, right? Ugadol ma'ayid, very painful. B'matzavim ke'elu, in times like these, adam tzarich lahashiv el avavai, you need to remember something. Ki Hashem yizbarach yodea ta'alumos lev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in addition to all of whatever the divine is, he's also the knower of the secret things, the hidden things. Yoidea oimik imke alev mamish. Hashem is with you in your loneliest moment. If you are experiencing a moment, irrespective of how lonely it is, then God is also experiencing that moment, because that's what you are. That you're a little chelik alekamimal. Hashem is in you. Hashem is with you. Belit sarich bebitoi, and he doesn't need you to come up with words. And he doesn't need you to get it all in order to like really grasp intellectually what you're suffering from or dealing with and what you're really feeling. It doesn't make a difference. Just be. Sit. And allow the storm of emotion to roil within you. But know that you are not the one who's feeling these things alone. Kach etzem halev, the essence of your heart, bichol rega natun, in every given moment, be'irvuv aybebehiros, in complexity where things are not clear, aybebehiros, or with clarity, galui via du'alef ne'ashem yizbarach ha'mevin u'mashpia u'meir. It's completely revealed before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who understands, and who's the one bringing this situation into being, with a smile on his face always. Because in that place, oyiz v'chedva b'mekaymai. Remember we spoke before about the laughter? There's a place in Shamayim where there's always music. There's always dancing. Always, no matter what. Because in that place, there's no ra. La yagur b'magurchara. La yagur b'magurchara. Ki mi'ita lo teitzei ha-ra'os. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't come the ra. And I always imagine, and sometimes I've sensed very deep inside of me, that they just have this niggun playing all the time. You know this niggun? There's a place in Shemayim where that niggun is just playing all the time. All the time, all the time, endlessly. And the malachim in that place are dancing all the time. I'm talking about when Jews are being herded into cattle cars. I'm talking about when Yidden are in the gas chambers. There's a place in Shemayim, and we have to believe this, called Mada Avid Rachmana Latavavid, in ways that the human brain can't even grasp grasping to grasp. part of our Amunah believes that there is a place, the loftiest, loftiest place is called Keser Elyon Atik Yoimin. Magid Mirashis Achris. It's that place where everything... I'm finding it hard to put words to it because we cannot put words to it. The story is already told from beginning to end, and the end is good. And so from that standpoint of Atishak Liyam Acharein, there's already celebration. Already celebration. Because it's already over in that place. Because it's not yet begun in that place. Because it's both not yet begun and it's already over at the very same time, because it's beyond time. And it's a circle. And everything is just a projected illusion, where human beings spend their whole time struggling and suffering and can't figure things out and grappling. And this is all part of the process, because it all reveals the divine in this realm, which is the tachlis of chayim, the purpose of living. Dir b'tachtoinim, we're here to give something to God, not just to take. And all of this happens in this illusory space of limitation, where we live in this moment and in this place. But it's illusory. Just like we're sitting right here now, and all of us understand that you could be sitting in this room and there's a whole city called Miami in a completely different country where things are functioning, and that doesn't take away from the reality of this. Like, the same way we can grasp that. So I like to call that horizontal knowledge, because that's like on this plane. We're here and that's there. And I want to tell each and every one of you and myself, the same is true vertically. The fact of there being a place in Shemayim where that niggun is playing all the time doesn't take away from the fact that there's also this metzias. But it just expands reality. It shouldn't be any less real to you than the fact that there's Miami Beach somewhere on this Olam HaGashmi. There's also an Olam called Atzilus. That exists right now. Kiviyachol. Maybe there are even ways of getting there, coming back. That place exists. Maybe we can take a couple of minutes a day and go there and open up our neshama, irrespective of what we're going through personally, even what Am Yisrael is going through collectively, because we have to feel the tsar in the place where we're at, because that's what Hashem wants, that we should be in this realm. And take a deep breath in that place and just hear this nick and remind yourself, this is all a little bit of a game. It's all a little bit of a show. Don't be fooled. You have to hear the echo of that niggun, because it's already playing in that place. So we're not alone. We're not alone. We get so stuck and we think this is reality. And we learn all these concepts, but it doesn't really come down low of the lamai. So we learn about all these different... We have to understand, this is... these things mean something. It's real. It's true. We are limited beings experiencing an illusion of time and space. There is a place that's Lamalam and Azman. We refer to it countless times a day in our davening. Whenever we look in the Siddur and see the four letters Yud Kei Vav Kei, means Haya, Hay Ve Yi. Hashem is at once all that was, all that is, and all that will be. That means that whatever will be, Kolel, Tchias HaMesim, Batishak Liyam Acharein, the total eradication of Ra, the total transformation of every possibility of something being perceived as being evil, goes back to a previous year, as being a vessel for the Tov. There is no Ra, Einoid Mulvada, everything. It's already happened. Lamalam and Asman. The place called Keser Olam Atzilus is referred to in the Zohar Kadosh. I threw out these words before, but just to clarify, Magid Mireshis Achris. It's the place where already from the beginning HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything else. It's the place of non-binary, to use contemporary language. It's true. There's no binary in that place. There's no good and evil. There's no, not that these are synonymous, there's no male or female in that place. There's no giver or taker. It's just one. It's one. And so that's not our reality, right? Because we live linear and things hurt and we see that there's a situation that we can be a part of fixing, and we have to do everything that we can to be a part of fixing in accordance with what we perceive to be broken and how we could implement fixing, because we don't know what's going to be. And we have free choice. We have the experience of Bechira. But let none of this take away from the truth, when you need it, that you could also turn your radio station to a higher channel. A higher channel. That's called Emunah. Galui v'yadua lefnei Hashem Yisbarach ha-mevin u'mashpia u'me'ir. Everything that you're going through, not just it's known in the moment, it was always known, and it's part of a story, and it's a story that has an ending so absolutely fantastic that it's a punchline. It's beyond an ending to the story. It's a punchline, because the whole thing was a joke. And when I say joke, I don't mean that it didn't matter. It was the twistiest thing. It was what the human brain couldn't begin to grasp. Eventually, we come to the realization that, oh my goodness! Imagine like a fifth dimension just opened up, like there's time and space, and then like whoa, like that was something completely different. Imagine that to infinite degrees in ways that the human brain can't grasp. We see a fraction of a facet of a tiny little glimpse of a tiny part of reality. And we get so, vermished from this. We have to remember, Hashem wants human beings to be human. He wants souls in bodies that are limited, time and space, that struggle, that feel pain. We're talking about pain, right? We're not pretending a person's ignorance is bliss or whatever it is. A person's in it. You have to be in it. And we struggle, and we work on ourselves, and we slip, and then we get back up, and we make stronger gedarma, and we work on things, we try to rectify, and we bemoan the fact that chas v'shalom, the terrible things are happening in the world, and we feel the pain of loss, and so on and so forth. Hashem needs us to do that. If He didn't, you and I wouldn't be here. He needs the human to be human. But in order for the human, while being human, to do his or her mission, which is to reveal the truth of the oneness, which means past, present, future, the goodness, the godness, even here in this lowly realm, which we call Dira B'Tachtonim, there has to be a part of us that's always plugged into that space. Then we can channel it down through our positive thinking, through our broad-minded, big consciousness, expanded Moichin thinking, down into reality. And in so doing, we change. We become more God-oriented. We become deeper, more spiritual people. Spiritual means more connected to that deeper realm. And that's a revelation of godliness. That's a Gilui Elokus. So it's like this funny game we play. On the one hand, we have our feet firmly implanted on the ground. But we have to have a part of us that's also connected to the highest place in Shemayim. Oh, wait. That sounds very similar to a symbol in the Torah. Of course. Because Yaakov Avinu saw himself. Sula mutzav arza, bavarosha is magia shamayim. The ladders, his mamish on the ground. But that doesn't take away from the fact that you have to be connected to that higher reality in order to channel that reality down into this realm. Malachi lekim oylem yardim bay. Let's read from Rav Kook and then we'll finish last few minutes. This is the way that Rav Kook, in his incredible poetry and the deepest expression, talk about expression, Rav Kook, see, he explains it like this. Amnam, ad heichan magia godel hatzimaon el ha'elokim b'taharato. Until where does the thirst for Hashem in its purest form, until where does it reach? Where does it impact? It obviously penetrates beyond all the different barriers and it reaches the highest places. The loftiest, most refined spiritual realms. But where does the pain of those people who feel trapped in darkness reach? That's even beyond the yearning for Hashem. That's Shava. But what about just a tzaka? Where a person mamish gets to a place where it bursts forth from inside of them. I don't want to continue living this way. I don't want to be here. I feel stuck, right? Stuck mamish, this feeling of feeling stuck. Where does tzaka reach? Ein zed davar yadua l'shem beria, says Rav Kook. If we thought we had some conception of where Shava reaches, which is overtly spiritual striving, yearning, he says, tzaka? Just the pain of a simple Jew or of any human being going through whatever they're going through, no one knows how deep that goes. Ki ima adoin kol baruchu. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Yodea kol ta'alumos levadai. That's why we use this terminology, and that's the answer to the question that we started with. Why we finish the stanza with Yodea ta'alumos, you who know the secret hidden things. Hu yodeas goydel ha'ar. He knows the light. Asha lefi erech chukasai tigadal hashava. That along with the depth of our yearning, that light grows. Hu yodeas oimek ha'machshach, but he also knows the depth of the darkness. Shana shama mitzas es atzmik shura behagbalasai. When the soul feels itself stuck, and there's nothing worse than feeling stuck. Umishne ha'koilos halalu. And from these two terminologies, these two voices, mitoich ha'shava, from the yearning, umitoich ha'tza'aka, and from this pain, tavei ha'yeshua. So then the salvation comes, al yedei yodea ta'alumais, by virtue of the one who knows the pain. And I want to say something a little bit radical here. On the one hand, and this will end, on the one hand, we want to believe, and it may very well be, and it's certainly standard theology and standard hashkafa, that we daven and Hashem answers our tefillahs. That things can actually change through tefillah. That's a fundamental belief. We believe that tefillah actually works. In Rabbi Nachman's Lashon, in a number of places, Hateva Mechayev Kach, nature says, this is what's going to happen. Utfila Mishana Hateva. Tefillah can actually change nature. That's tefillah. But I want to suggest something maybe even deeper. Maybe when we say that Shava Seinu Kabel, Ribbono Shel Olam, accept our Shava, Ushma Tzaka Seinu, and hear our cry, Yodea Talumas, you who know the hidden things. Maybe the words are precise when we don't say, respond to our Shava, answer our Tzaka, Yodea Talumas. All we say is, Ribbono Shel Olam, let me come to the understanding that you and I are so connected in our root, that you are the Yodea Talumas, that you're with me. You know what I'm going through. You knew what I would go through because you know the end, and the end is good. I want to suggest that even if nothing actually changes in our situation, and I bless us all to get out of whatever it is that we're stuck in, and we shouldn't feel the pain, but perhaps the expanded consciousness of being connected to Hashem on the level of Yodea Talumais already no longer necessitates the situation actually changing and Hashem answering our tefillah. All I need is someone to talk to who gets it. All I need is Shavaseinu Kabel. Just Ribbono Shel Olam, sit with me in this. Let me apply an expanded level of awareness to what I'm going through. Let me hear that niggin, even in the darkest pit of Daniel's, you know, lions, the roaring and the terror and the fear. Let me be able still to hear beyond all the static and all the noise, a little bit, catch a glimpse of that niggin, because Hashem, you're with me, and if you're with me, then that means that this is good. This is somehow also okay. So of course we do our ashtadlus, and that's why we daven that things should change. But all the while that things aren't yet, so to speak, actually practically changing, objectively, if I can expand my subjective experience and my approach, so then things already changed. Even though nothing changed, but everything changed. And this is a lot of what therapeutic work is all about, right? The therapist can't like change this. If a person's in a situation where, like, okay, unless they can leave the abusive relationship or whatever it is, a person experienced trauma, they experienced trauma. The therapist is not gonna change that. But what can be accomplished, and there are many different therapeutic techniques, and fundamentally, like Rabbi Abraham J. Torsky, you know, the famous Hasidic psychotherapist, said, you know, all the therapists and psychologists, he said, very sharp, he said, are the illegitimate children of the great Hasidic masters. Like it's all in Hasidus, it's all in Kabbalah, it's all in the Torah, which is the Chachma of the Lev. So therapy is useful because there are different modalities, there are different techniques, there are different tools. But in terms of, you know, what we need is emunah. That's it. That's really what we need. Now, there are different therapeutic techniques to enable a person who has very negative associations with Judaism, whatever it is, or with faith, and to really become a ma'amin. And there are 12-step programs for this. And these are all spiritual principles. Every one of the 12 steps I can show you in Sichas Torah. Like, actually, I know where each of them are, right? Like, all the big chidushim of anybody else, it's all there. So Hashem made Chachma B'Goyim Tam, and there are different techniques, different ways of getting to these places. But fundamentally, it's the same realization. They call it in therapeutic terminology, a reframe. Nothing changed in your life. Meaning, the thing that happened, happened. So how can I heal from it? By shifting my subjective perspective on it. By accessing deeper levels of awareness. And there are many ways of doing this. And there are many kinds of accessing what's called in Kabbalah and Hasidus, mochin de gadlus. Doesn't mean a big fat brain. Doesn't mean a very smart person. Mochin is a brain. De gadlus means expanded. Your awareness is elevated, it's bigger. Your approach to things that happened in the past, expanded. And your approach to things that are happening in the present. Trach good, und vetzayin good. Already things change. So that's where Rav Kook says, Tavei HaYeshua, again, even if the Yeshua doesn't mean that something actually changes, God saved you from it, it means already you were saved in the sense that you became aware al yedei yodea ta'alumais, by knowing I'm not alone on this ride. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was literally writing my story on this divine keypad, like it's bringing me into being, and it's a good story and it ends good with laughter. And they all lived happily ever after, right? HaMekabalas HaShava mitoich goidla v'roimimus Kedushas Erka, Hashem values, appreciates, v'shameas atza'aka mitoch merirusa v'inuya hanoira, and Hashem hears our groaning and our pain and our frustration in a way maybe that we don't even hear it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deep, deep, deep inside of us. He is us at the deepest core. Shavaseinu kabel, and that's why we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, accept our yearning, u'shma tzakaseinu, and hear our deep, pained cry. And in order to be the one that can interact with these kinds of expressions that are beyond words, Ribbono Shel Olam, you need to be a Yedea Ta'alumais. Because you're with me in the innermost recess of my neshama. So you hear me even when I don't have any words to say. And that's Shavaseinu Kabel Ushmatza Kasinu Yedea Ta'alumais. Ezra Hashem, next week we'll carry on. We might have 3 weeks actually on Yedea Ta'alumais, because there are a couple of layers of this. Okay, but this is a good start. It's a good start, but as is Hashem. Ashreinu. Thank you guys so much.